From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This particular book sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's meditation is found in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. The people that do know their God shall be strong. Every believer understands that to know God is the highest and best form of knowledge, and this spiritual knowledge is a source of strength to the Christian. It strengthens his faith. Believers are constantly spoken of in the Scriptures as being persons who are enlightened and taught of the Lord. They are said to have an unction from the Holy One, and it is the Spirit's peculiar office to lead them into all truth, and all this for the increase and the fostering of their faith. Knowledge strengthens love as well as faith. Knowledge opens the door, and then through that door we see our Savior. Or to use another similitude, knowledge paints the portrait of Jesus, and when we see that portrait, then we love him. We cannot love a Christ whom we do not know, at least in some degree. If we know but little of the excellencies of Jesus, what he has done for us and what he is doing now, we cannot love him much. But the more we know him, the more we shall love him. Knowledge also strengthens hope. How can we hope for a thing if we do not know of its existence? Hope may be the telescope, but till we receive instruction, our ignorance stands in the front of the glass, and we can see nothing whatever. Knowledge removes the interposing object, and when we look through the bright optic glass, we discern the glory to be revealed, and anticipate it with joyous confidence. Knowledge supplies us reasons for patience. How shall we have patience unless we know something of the sympathy of Christ, and understand the good which is to come out of the correction which our Heavenly Father sends us? Nor is there one single grace of the Christian which, under God, will not be fostered and brought to perfection by holy knowledge. How important, then, is it that we should grow not only in grace, but in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Be strong in the Lord and be of good courage, your defender is he who is always the same. Mount up with wings as the eagle ascending, victory is sure when you call on his name. Be strong, be strong, be strong.
Courage for thee.
the years since Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many people have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise. This CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues to study the Epistle to the Colossians as he deals with the last two verses of chapter 1. In the previous messages, we've seen that the mystery of the gospel finds its culmination in what Paul described as Christ in you, the hope of glory. In verses 28 and 29, the apostle summarizes the aim of the gospel ministry, saying about Christ, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul's ministry was preaching Christ, an emphasis which ought to characterize every true minister of the gospel. In introducing this message, laboring to produce fully mature Christians, Dr. Cairns focuses first on the scriptural way to bring believers to a full assurance of faith in Christ. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
We return to the end of Colossians chapter 1 this morning. Colossians chapter 1. We'll reread the portion, verse 24, to the end of the chapter. And we'll be considering particularly the last two verses of the chapter. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Paul says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. We have been noting that in Colossians 1, we have, toward the end of the chapter, one of those passages in which the Apostle Paul, in some detail, speaks of the kind of ministry that he exercised. As you read the epistles of Paul, you'll find that there are places, they're not really too numerous, but there are places in which he gives us a little bit more biographical information or a little bit more insight into the workings of his heart as he labored as a minister of the gospel. In various places, he sets out to defend his personal integrity when he was being bitterly criticized, hard for us to believe, but being called a liar, an untrustworthy man, who spoke out of both sides of his mouth at one time. As I say, hard to believe. But that's the kind of criticism the apostle had to endure. So at times, he defended his integrity. At other times, because he was the apostle who was born out of due season, he wrote to defend his apostleship. At other times, he described his ministry in order to emphasize the love that was in his heart for the churches that God had used him to establish. And still other occasions, he described his ministry particularly to protect the new Christians from the subtle attacks of false teachers and heretics. And there were times that he spoke of his ministry in order to remind the believers of the uniqueness and the exclusiveness of the gospel that he had brought to them, and to instruct them so that he would further them in their faith, because that would be their only defense against the wiles of the devil. Now, here at the end of Colossians chapter 1, his aim appears to be to show his love for the church there by instructing the believers in the exclusiveness of the gospel, the peculiar truths of the gospel, so that they may grow in that gospel and be protected from the insidious attacks of heretics. In other words, while here there's no real attack on his personal integrity or apostleship, He gathers up all the other reasons for which he has ever written about his ministry, and he puts them into play in this passage of Scripture. You see, to the Apostle Paul, the battle with heresy was no mere war of words. It was not a battle for ascendancy by one little section of the church against some differing party. What Paul was engaged in was to him a matter of life and death, one that caused him personally deep agony of soul. In chapter 2, he immediately goes on to say, I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Paul says, I want you to know the care. It's the idea in the conflict. The care, the burden of soul that fills me as I look at the state of the church in Colossae. So he draws their attention to the ministry through which they had been saved, the kind of ministry that he prosecuted among them. And in the final two verses, I'm not going this morning for the sake of time to summarize anything of what I've said in the weeks past, but in the final two verses, he summarizes his whole approach to the church in Colossae, and indeed I think we could say to the church in general. Here he says, concerning Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving to according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. As I pondered those verses, I realized that what Paul was really saying is that he was laboring to produce fully mature Christians. Having seen these people saved, he had one overriding passion for them, and that was that they should become fully mature as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to think of that theme this morning, because I think it will go without saying, if you're a Christian, you will recognize this, that there can be nothing more immediately important than this in your life or in my life. There can be nothing to which we ought to give the more earnest heed than this one, becoming fully mature as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as he emphasized that truth, the apostle highlighted some things, some steps along the way, as it were, as he sought to labor for this purpose. First of all, he stresses his message. In verse 28, he says, whom we preach. Now, you may recollect that back in verse 26 and following, he spoke of what I then, well, I say by then, the time I was preaching on it, it seems a long time ago. We have been quite a few weeks in these closing verses. But I then described as the rich and glorious mystery of the gospel. The rich and glorious mystery of the gospel. He has spoken of that. And now in the sections that follow, he is about to explore those riches. And he's about to explore this mystery that's revealed in Jesus Christ. One of the difficulties about chapter divisions in our English Bible is that we tend to read exclusively by chapters. People say, I have read my chapter for the day, or my chapters for the day. And if the chapter ended in the middle of a word, we would end in the middle of a word. And the problem is that we, by the time we come back to the next chapter, are apt to have forgotten some of the salient facts of the former chapter. And so when we come to chapter 2, we can very easily forget that in chapter 2 of Colossians, what Paul is doing is expounding the rich mystery of the gospel. Now, I don't know if I will ever get into Colossians chapter 2. And I have even less of any assurance that if I did get into it, I would ever get out of it, because it is one of the most profound chapters in all of Holy Scripture. But remember what Paul is doing. He's expounding Christ in all the fullness of the divine revelation that God has given of him, and showing the wealth of the grace of God in that revelation. He makes it clear in the verses I have read at the beginning of chapter 2 a moment ago that by doing so, he wants the believers to enjoy a full assurance of understanding. Do you notice how he puts that? He's touching here on one of the most vital things in the Christian life. He's touching here on one of the most troublesome things for many Christians, and that is assurance. Now, he deals, and I'm not going to go through this in detail this morning, but he deals with this subject of assurance from various aspects through his epistles. The one thing that's outstanding is that he never deals with it the way the modern evangelical / fundamental / reformed pastor deals with it. He doesn't touch that. He does not deal with this matter of assurance by talking in syrupy language to people, patting them on the back, trying to make them feel good, and say, on your way. No, he deals with it theologically, but he deals with it not just theologically, but he deals with it by applying that theology to the heart. But it starts with knowing. And he says, full assurance comes from understanding the gospel. Full assurance is a perfection of faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. By inexorable and inevitable biblical logic, full assurance is not some pipe dream. It is not some make-believe. It is not the exercise of willpower. It is not even the exercise of the usual syllogism or logic. The Bible says this: I believe it, therefore I'm saved. That's how most pastors lead you to assurance. There is some validity in that logic, but that's never going to give you full assurance in itself. The full assurance comes from understanding the gospel. Faith cannot be exercised apart from the word of God, for faith is always a human response to a divine revelation. So understand this, and never forget it. Paul is laboring that they may have full assurance, but that full assurance comes from an understanding of the gospel. And so as he enters into this exposition, he's going to be leading them into the depths of the truth of the person and the work of the Redeemer. And as he does so, that's going to create in them an assurance of the truth of the gospel, an assurance of their interest in the gospel, and it is going to do something else. It's going to protect them from the subtle heresies that otherwise would overthrow them or distract them or put them in a wrong pathway.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.